So a moment just happened to me that reminded me and let me know that, yes, I am officially getting to an old stage in my life. I purchased something, and I immediately looked at the bag and said, oh my goodness, let me fold up this bag so that I can use it when I'm gifting this Christmas, because I don't like to wrap things anymore. I like to just throw them in bags with pretty paper. And this bag that this purchase came in was already wrapped in this beautiful green, a mixture between Kelly and verdant green with like sparkles and glitter in it. Beautiful tissue paper already in this lovely chic black bag. So my thrifty mind was like, now you have this bag for a Christmas gift. So yeah, hashtag old man. That's being on the other side of 35, folks. That's what that is. Welcome. So it's early on this gray morning. I've got my barista whim, which is a special drink they made for me, and I'm pondering many things. The current state of our country has me in disarray, in mental stress. And I'm actively trying to figure out how to navigate that in this current climate and world. It's a very unwieldy thing that we're trying to figure out together. Hopefully with our allies and our partners, and I'm hoping that we can make it work, but I'm not exactly hopeful. Your new moment in white hegemony was brought to you by the Oscars, which are always so white. Thank you for the black woman who coined that trending hashtag. But something I just tweeted earlier today was that white privilege in action is Stephanie Dramata, otherwise known as Lady Gaga, being on one television show and winning an Oscar, while Regina King had to have 53 acting credits, 34 years in the business, 3 Emmy Awards, and 1 Golden Globe in order to get her Oscar. Black people always have to be 10 times as good to get the same as white people under white privilege and white hegemony. That's how it works. My mother is another case in point. In the 60s, when she moved to Louisville, she got a job as an administrative assistant at a really good company downtown Louisville. She had a 4-year bachelor's degree from a then private Presbyterian school in Tennessee. A prestigious private Presbyterian school in Tennessee. The white women who were working next to her had a high school diploma. I repeat, my mother had to have a college degree, not an associate's degree, not a certificate, a 4-year college degree to get hired to do the same job that white women were doing with a high school diploma. Once again, 10 times as good to get the same. This is your moment in white hegemony, brought to you by Oscars and life. So, in this Me Too moment, where we're going back into the back catalog of people's histories to find terrible things to preclude them for doing things in the present. And I mean going back 20, 30, 40 years, in the case of some people. I have some questions. My questions are, who gets to win the lottery for the opportunity to have your entire back catalog picked through? Number one, it seems to be particular people. And then number two, what things do we discover that we say, oh, okay, well, you did X, but that's okay now. You know, what things do we give a pass for and what things do we not? And then number three, why is it that some people we discover things like Brett Kavanaugh and we give them a pass? We give them that pass that I'm talking about. And then other people, Kevin Hart, for example, we don't. We say, well, you're canceled now because you did this thing. So those are questions I have. And then the other issue is, is the issue that we can't find, we can't find any blameless people? Is that it? Is it that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? And believe you me, I hate to proof text scripture. That's not something you're going to find me doing often. But I think scripture is useful to use. Useful to use. Scripture is useful for just couching a situation for discussion. Right? It is not a golden standard by any means. But I think biblical scriptures, any sacred text, the Mahabharata, the Quran, any sacred text, I think is useful to couch a discussion because these texts were written by really, really smart people who sat around and thought about the world's issues, right? And we don't have any new issues. There's no such thing as a new issue. The way issues come up change, right? We have technology now that changes how issues are dealt with. But, you know, sexual harassment is not a new issue. Racism is not a new issue. Ask the Syrophoenician woman in Jesus. I think it's interesting to have a discussion about who's getting canceled, who isn't, and a truthful, just dealing with the topic of, okay, if someone did something 30 years ago, what have they done since to not, you can't fix what you did. That's done. You know, we can't unring that bell of saying something nasty, of doing something inappropriate, of physically attacking someone. You can't unring that bell. But what have you done to apologize? What have you done to repent? What have you done to learn to educate yourself, to advocate for victims? What have you done in the meantime? What work have you put in to make amends, to repent, to heal the hurt that you've caused? What work have you done? Because I'm not seeing that part of the conversation. Because that should be part of it to me. Now, for me personally, in the Brett Kavanaugh situation, obviously, if you listen to my first podcast, you can tell I don't think he should have been nominated to the Supreme Court, right? Someone who sexually assaults somebody,
I think that should preclude you from being, from sitting on the Supreme Court, because you're going to be ruling you're going to potentially be ruling on cases that deal with sexual assault, or case law that's going to have a determination on future sexual assaults, perhaps, right? At some point, you're going to be ruling on the topic of violence against women and men and non-binary people, right? So if you have sexually assaulted someone, that should preclude you from sitting on the bench. It's not even a political thing. People think it's a political opinion. My question is, was there not another conservative judge to be found that didn't have sexual assault in their background? Is this what you're telling me, GOP? Is that the issue here? Because it seems like it. That's what was so glaring to me. I'm like, there isn't another conservative judge who is just chomping at the bit and has been vetted by the Heritage Foundation to repeal Roe v. Wade, that didn't rape someone when they were in college? Is that what we're saying? Like, just withdraw Brett Kavanaugh, you know, vote down Brett Kavanaugh, and put another conservative judge up who's going to repeal Roe v. Wade for you. So that was the thing to me. Because clearly that's their goal. And in his latest, I mean, just do the research. Google what Brett Kavanaugh's dissent was on the latest, his first official written ruling. And you will see what his intentions are versus women's rights. It's kind of been a bit of a digression. But I do... My issue with Brett Kavanaugh in the end was, A, he sexually assaulted someone, but B, there does not seem to be in his history any work to make amends for sexual assault. He has not been outspoken as a women's advocate for violence against women. He has not, spoken at colleges about sexual assault. That's the thing. What if Brett Kavanaugh, after he did that horrendous thing, turned over a new leaf, admitted, apologized, and became known for speaking at colleges all around, speaking at these elite universities, quote unquote elite? That's another discussion. But what if he had been known as a speaker who went to Harvard and Yale and Princeton and talked about violence against women? What if that had been his mission instead? Wouldn't that be a wonderful, I shouldn't say wonderful, because I don't think you... I'm working this out as I'm talking. I'm thinking this out loud. I don't think you deserve ally cookies for doing what you're supposed to do. Like, not sexually assaulting women is what you're supposed to do. So if you do that, to me, you don't win a cookie for then turning around and doing what the rest of us do, which is not sexually assault women, right? Sexually assaulting people in general is not something you're supposed to do. And I'm laughing at the audacity, not the situation. But it's like, you don't win an ally cookie for doing this, but it speaks to your character, right? If Brett Kavanaugh, after this horrendous attack that he and victimization of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, if the rest of his life had been known as moving forward as an advocate for nonviolence and doing work in the community to combat violence against women, then I would be more likely to say, okay, put him on the Supreme Court. But there's no history of that work being done that I've seen. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that would have come out in the hearing. If he had had a history of advocacy for violence prevention, I'm pretty sure that would have come out in the hearing. So I think that needs to be part of the conversation. Once you do something that breaks the social contract, and that's really what we're talking about. We have a social contract to do good. We have a social contract to be kind to each other. There's a general understanding that you're supposed to do good and be kind. And when we step outside of that and break that precious social contract, if we want to be welcomed back in and then elevated, if you want to be voted to the Supreme Court, you're going to need to have done some work to make amends for breaking that social contract, right? So I think it's an examination for me of what is the work you've done to make amends? What have you done to be brought back into the circle that you decided to jump out of? You decided to jump out of our social contract, break it, and hurt one of us because we are all connected. So if you've decided to hurt one of us, we need to see the work that you've done to be invited back in, to not only be invited back in, but to be elevated with the privilege of sitting on the Supreme Court for the rest of your life. I think people are missing that piece. The election of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court tells young boys, young cisgender, straight boys, that you can sexually assault a woman or a man or a non-binary person and bear no consequence. Not only bear no consequence, but be rewarded in spite of that behavior. Now, there are multiple other implications there, right? Saying that, okay, well, who gets to be able to do that? What is Brett Kavanaugh? He is a straight, white male. So the implication is that if you are a straight, white male, you're able to do this, right? But then we look at history and we can say, oh, wait a minute. But Clarence Thomas is a straight, black male, and he's able to do this. So it seems that it's straight men, straight, conservative men, who are able to do this. That's dangerous. I mean, obviously, on the face of it, that is dangerous and does much to perpetuate rape culture and toxic masculinity. Not only will we excuse you physically assaulting, sexually assaulting, verbally assaulting women, you can get rewarded by being appointed to the highest court in the land for the rest of your natural born life. What does that say about us as a society? Think on that. The great flood has spoken. The GOP did not care that he assaulted a woman, or there are so many trifling conservative judges that there was no one else they could put forth who didn't have sexual assault in the background. That's what his nomination implies to me. They didn't have another conservative judge to put forth who might not have a sexual assault in their background. That's what it said to me, which is frightening, right? If that's the case, that's really frightening.